today on Real Radio.
You know, God didn't look down the path of your life and say, wow, this guy, you know, as I looked at his life, I really wanted to save him. Man, you know, in 2023, he's going to do this whopper. Yeah, I just can't have that in the kingdom. He doesn't do that. Your Savior is God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter, with the message called Look at What You've Become, Part 3. Now, Peter, of course, was a disciple of Christ who later on became the leader of the first century church. In 1 Peter, we saw how Peter lovingly cared for others and faithfully pursued his passion to spread the gospel to those around him. But here in the book of 2 Peter, Peter knew that his time was limited and much was at stake. For this reason, his words are urgent, his message is straightforward, and his mission was to combat the vain and senseless arguments of the godless age in which he was living. Now, in chapter 1, verse 4, Peter tells us that because of Christ's glory and excellence, he has given us through his word great and precious promises. And with these promises, we're able to share the Lord's divine nature. Human desires corrupt our world, but we as Christ followers will be able to escape it. So today on day 3 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that Jesus has commissioned us to follow him. He deserves our all, and wherever we go, he is there. The lusts of this world cannot fulfill us or sustain us. Only Christ can do that. And now from his message called Look What You've Become, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
When Jesus said, you know what, by the way, while you 70 were out ministering, I saw Satan fall. He lost his grip. Satan fell out of heaven. You know, Satan has the power to go to heaven, go to hell, swim around in between, go whatever he does. Jesus was announcing, while you were ministering, Satan's kingdom was getting all beat up. His black, dark-tinted window cruiser. Satan goes by and there's like smoke rolling out of the cracked windows. A Christian ministers in the name of Jesus to someone, and it's almost as though a holy angel must go over there and just go, puts a big dent in the door. Another angel pokes a hole in the tire. When we serve the Lord in the name of the Lord, we're denting the kingdom of darkness. I don't know about you, but I love that. I just told the worship team before coming out here, get out there, do the damage. Lead us in worship. Bless God, drive Satan nuts. That should be a title out in front of the church building. We're here to bless God and drive Satan nuts. I wasn't finished with that verse though, was I? Verse 19, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that is the power of it all, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Jesus said, your names are written down in heaven. Notice what he did not say. Hey, that's awesome. You guys did all that stuff. And you know what? Cross your fingers. If you're lucky, your names will be written down in heaven. He didn't say that. He told them, as a matter of fact, your names are written down in heaven. Every believer that comes to Christ, you have this promised assurance. He says, I will by no means turn you away. God wants to use you. Let him use you. You'll be blessed. God will be glorified. And Satan gets a dent in his door. I like what Pastor Chris May here always says. He'll get a knot in his tail. That's nice, to put a knot in Satan's tail. Next is this. Look at verse 4. Because he has established you firmly, that through these, that's the promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature. This is remarkable. Of the divine nature. This is remarkable. What do we say to this? By the way, Peter here is criticized by scholars who say, listen, everyone, I believe it's the Holy Spirit doing this. The critics say Peter is employing a belief of the pagan worship system and the pagan worshipers who went through incantations, gyrations, reenactments. They dressed up like their god or gods. Are you tracking with me? If you were worshiping Jupiter, they would dress up in that stuff. And listen, watch out for parades that dress up like the gods you worship. Seems like this is never going to change. And they would go down the streets of the ancient world, and this one's dressed up like Zeus, this one's dressed up like Jupiter, this one's dressed up like Athena, and they're carrying these makeshift knockoff thrones of their and temples of these gods, and it's a, and they've got their symbols, and they're just going along. What are you doing? We're worshiping Zeus. Well, and I'm dressed like Zeus, and so the pagans, that's all paganism, and the believers were shocked to read this portion of verse 4 because Peter is implying, maybe not even implying, maybe demanding that we have, by God's power, the opportunity to partake of the divine nature. Are you hearing this? It means this is heavy. The only place in the Bible where this is found. Paul speaks a lot like it. Peter drops the bomb. It means that now that we're born again, that the Holy Spirit imparts to us the divine nature. It doesn't mean you're God. It doesn't mean you're a little God. It means that the divine nature has been placed inside of you. You want to know why your name is written down in heaven and you don't have to worry about it getting blotted out? Because if it's in the Lamb's book of life, there's no reference in the Bible of names being blotted out of the Lamb's book of life. Amen. There are names being blotted out of the book of life, but not the Lamb's book of life. Read your Bible carefully. There's at least two books that record names. The reason why the born-again believer's name stays in the Lamb's book of life is because the Holy Spirit has deposited into every true believer the divine nature. You're not a god. You act like your god. Big difference. Christian, listen up. You are not a little god. You have studied and you know and you experience in your own life this practical responsive relationship with your God, that the more you hang out with him, the more you begin to act like him. It's amazing. I won't point. Someone's in the room here right now. Just before service, you told me a moment ago, before service, that there's people that you know who now say to you, you don't act like you used to act like. Well, what does that mean when you asked? And they said, you're different now. That's exactly what I'm talking about. To have the divine nature is the fact that the Holy Spirit dwells within you and he begins to manifest the very, very characteristics of God. Notice I didn't say attributes. Those are divine of God only. Characteristics, meaning this. You know the wristband, what would Jesus do? That's what we're talking about. What would Jesus do? About anything, about everything. The divine nature. Ladies and gentlemen, dear friends, listen. We're talking about biblical Christianity here right now. Show me anything in the universe that offers to you a loving, forgiving, holy, righteous, all-powerful God who turns to you and says, if you believe in my son, if you go to him, you'll be born again into my family. And if that takes place, I will come and live inside of you. And in that moment I do, by the person of the Holy Spirit, imparted to you as a divine nature. And it starts manifesting instantly in a born-again Christian's life in that moment in the mind. Your thinking's changed, and it keeps changing. Your words change, and they keep what? Changing. What else happens? The things that you do change, and they keep changing. He firmly establishes you, my friend, in the family of God, the divine nature. I wish we had more time on this. Finally, we end with this verse 4. Mark it down. look what you've become. And all that's because he has commissioned us to follow. Pastor Jack, how do I know if I'm a child of God? Well, who are you following? I don't know how to say this. I'll just say it. It may confuse you. You have often heard me say that biblical Christianity is resilient, tough, it's hardy. Are you with me? You understand? It's usable. It's relatable. It's relevant. That's how I view biblical Christianity. For that reason, when we talk about having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, I think the church, many Christians today, have missed the boat on this. It says there, look at your Bible, having escaped. Can you mark those two words? It means it's already happened. Somebody give me your name, first name. Lupe. Lupe? Lupe. I was Lupe, not Loopy. Or is it Loopy? So watch this. Loopy loves Jesus. She's a partaker of the divine nature. She thinks different now. She acts different. And she's thinking different, and she's acting different. And what she thinks today is going to be different than what she thinks a month from now, because she's growing. She doesn't think differently, I should say. She thinks better. She's growing. That proof is because she has escaped, past tense. It means it happened one day. Please mark this down. Dear friend, you need to hear this for encouragement. At some time in Lupe's life, fill in your name, in Jack's life, in Karen's life, we escaped the corruption that is in this world. The word corruption implies the deserved judgment that is coming to this world. This world is going to receive its deserved judgment. It will come, and it's coming. But I've escaped it. Listen, are you a Christian today? You've escaped it. It's not going to happen to you. So who says? God. It's a promise. Aren't you excited about that? Yeah. Did you know you're not going to be disciplined for your sins because Jesus was at the cross? Now, you'll either say that in your mind, which will be wrong. Really? He did that for me? Cool. I can go sin and do whatever I want because he took the penalty? Awesome. No, you're an idiot if you do that. You're not a Christian. You're not a follower of God. That is religion. It's insane. But if it's true, you'll say, whoa, 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 whoa. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, died on the cross, knowing me, because he's eternal. He knew me before I was born. Mm-hmm. He knew all the sins I would commit. Mm-hmm. What about the sins now that I'm alive? What about the ones I haven't done yet? He's God. Aren't you glad God died for you on the cross? Because no man would have known that. God knew that. Charles Spurgeon said, he was joking. Charles Spurgeon said, I'm so glad God called me before I was born, because he never would have called me after I was born. Well, that's a cute joke, but and it's theologically wrong, but he's expressing the emotion of it. You know, God didn't look down the path of your life and say, wow, this guy, you know, as I looked at his life, I really wanted to save him. I really wanted him to be relieved of the corruptness of this world. But man, you know, in 2023, he's going to do this whopper. Yeah, I just can't have that in the kingdom. Gosh, could you imagine? He doesn't do that. Your Savior is God. Amen. He's commissioned us to follow. We follow with such great news out of total commitment and response to love. See, a lover of God can't say, so you died for me so I can go do what I want? That's not a lover of God. You don't know God. Person who knows God and loves God says, you died on the cross for my sins, all of them? That act, God, deserves my all. I give you my life. Escape the corruption that is in this world. If the divine nature is at work in you, you're very happy about having escaped the corruption that's in this world. But notice that it's all wrapped up on this nasty thing, lust. Please circle it. I know what you're thinking. I could feel it. As soon as I heard said the word lust, you thought sex. It's not what it means. The word lust means all things that rival God in the throne room of your heart. So does the divine nature operate in you? Does the divine nature empower your life? Let's bow our heads for a moment, please. Let's pray. I don't want anyone moving around. A serious moment as we pray. Father, I'm asking you, Lord God, as we now begin to move on in this book, it's time for us to ask the question, what is the divine nature? If we have the answer, we know the answer. If we were to ask, how is the divine nature activated in my life? We would have to confess and say, I know how that happens in my life. This is what he does. If the question was to be asked, can the divine nature be experienced? As soon as it comes out of my mouth, there's already a yes. Because it doesn't matter where I go, he's there. Every time I run, he's at the finish line. If I try to escape this world and go to the uttermost parts of the earth, he's there. If I try to make my escape into the depths of the sea, he's there. He's everywhere. He's with me, and he's always in my thoughts. And there's just this ongoing dialogue that is on my mind and in my heart, always since I gave my heart to Jesus. And he is just demanding in his way that I keep growing, that I keep following. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I just articulated the dynamic of the Christian life. Please, my friend, don't be fearful today. We're not doing church today. We're living reality right now. This is for real. I'm going to ask you right now, well, everyone's praying. Maybe today you're here and you cannot bear witness to what I just said a moment ago. You do not have that dynamic. And you want that dynamic. You want him in your life. I'm going to ask you wherever you are to put your hand up and I'll look across this sanctuary and you're saying, I want to experience this living God in all of his forgiving grace and all of his leading and power and all of this divine nature. I need to be alive. Look inside your soul, my friend. Is it dark and cold? Or is it fervent and bright? Are you filled with hope? Or are you depressed and a bit terrified? Are you confused? Raise your hand today. Be honest, and you'd be saying, I want Jesus. Yes, I want him now in my life. I want to give my life to Christ. That would be my decision. A couple of you there. God bless you. I tell you what, we're going to sing this song. I sense in my heart there's others that are, you need to think about this, and I'll prove it to you. Some of you are in this room right now, and you're actually in prison right now. You're in prison right now, and I'll prove it to you. You're more fearful about what people might think about you instead of you doing the truth. That's the fear of man. The Bible says it's a trap. We're going to sing a song for a moment, and I'm going to ask you, those of you who raised your hands, I want you to have some guts. I want you to be strong. Don't be afraid. I want you to stand for Jesus. I want you to stand. I want you to come forward. I won't bother you. I won't embarrass you. I'm just going to ask you to take a stand for Jesus. There's no sales pitch here. There's no nothing. As we sing this song, there's a few of you who raised your hands. You come forward. But I believe there's others of you. You have a big question mark over your soul that if you were to die today, you don't know where you'd go. You hope it might go okay. That's not salvation. So let's sing a song, and today, as it were, let's seal the deal. This is the real one. Let's confess Jesus and let's be on with our lives, walking with him, following him, and all of his promises. So you come as this song goes up before the Lord, and then we'll pray together in a moment. Oh, that's good. You hear the words to that song? Every breath I take, every moment I'm awake. That's exactly what we're talking about. For that song, that sentence or two, to be the reality of your life. If today, friend, quickly, if that's not a reality, every moment, do you have, all of us, I don't care if you're a corporate executive, a wheeler and dealer, and the phone's ringing off the hook 50 times an hour, to someone who is maybe, I don't know, have all the time in the world and you just look out the window, it's irrelevant. Can you say today that every moment that I am in my thinking, in my breathing, in my existence, it's so obvious that God is in my life. Today's the day for you to confirm and make sure. If today you would want to be that follower of Jesus like us and be able to confess, wow, ever since that day, every moment I'm awake, I'm aware of his presence. One final call. You respond. If God is tugging on your heart, if you feel a bit uncomfortable, that's the Holy Spirit's business. You listen to him. Would you pray this prayer to your King, to the lover of your soul, to your God? I come to you, my Savior. I ask you to wash me afresh with the power of your blood, because that is your promise. I come to you as I am, looking to you to transform me into the person that you have made me to be. I confess Jesus Christ having died on the cross for me. I confess Jesus Christ having been risen from the dead for me. And I receive him today as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your power. Receive me into your family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called Look What You've Become, Part 3. Thanks for being with us today. And you know, when you look, you can see that we serve an amazing God who's able to do more than we could possibly imagine. Look What You've Become, Part 3. It's part of Pastor Jack's new series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter, a series about the Apostle Peter whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ in a very powerful way, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, Peter was well known for being both radical and intentional. He had a deep love for Christ and for his people. The older Peter got, the more he devoted his life to showing as many as he could the salvation that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It's why we've devoted a very special part of our website for the message of the gospel. Just go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and click on that tab labeled Know God, that's spelled out K-N-O-W, God. That's the tab you want to look for. Now, once you're there, we'll guide you through what your commitment to Christ involves and a prayer to receive him as your personal Savior. We're also going to give you some basic practices that'll help you grow closer to the Lord and to help you share his love with others in your life. Again, the tab is called Know God, and you'll find it there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.